Blog Talk Radio.
Again to Ko Elohim here at Iblis Culture at Ko Elohim. Todah Rabbah, family, for joining me. Todah Rabbah Abba Yah for giving me an opportunity to sit down and talk about your word, Father. Talk about this medicine to help heal us, Father. Thank you for that. We're in our sixth and last installment of Mental Illness and Understanding Sin. Prayerfully, give me a shout out if I'm sounding okay, if everything is clear and nothing is fuzzy. Somebody give me a thumbs up with that one, if you can. But it's been a journey. It's been a wonderful journey. wonderful journey, and my prayer through this journey that we've been on for these last 7 weeks, actually, and this is actually the seventh installment. We had an introduction, but so this is seven, is I will bring some change. He allow us to go in and dig deep down within our own spirit and our own mind and our own hearts and bring forth those things that was hindering us from doing his will. Those things, Tora Aki, Tora, those things that may have been a blockage for us for showing the true and full love of Abba. Those things that we didn't even know that was there. We didn't know that was there. And what we're going to do, we're going to do a review. We're going to ask a question. We're going to do a review of understanding sin. What? Because it's been a long journey, you know, and I know everybody don't go back and listen to each installment, but you should. You should go back and listen to each one every day, one day after another, because there's a lot of information, and not just this one, but all the lessons that come out, especially when they're a whole segment like this one. Go back, listen to them day by day. That way, because you may not have heard something the first time. So if you go back, you'll hear something. Or then again, at that time, Abba may not allow you to hear something. So then again, if you go back and listen again, Abba may remove whatever that thing was blocking your mind from hearing what you needed to hear at that time. Because he does that. He don't give it to us all at once like that. Although we hear the lesson, but we may go back 2-3 years later and listen to a lesson like, oh, I didn't even hear that. I didn't even understand that. But I will give you a revelation here, give you a truth at that time. And then first and foremost, pray. Pray to Abba. Ask him to open up your mind. Show me, Father. And that was the prayer. That's what I prayed for. Let somebody be free by this. Let this lesson touch somebody. Let somebody say, okay, I didn't have this thing, and I've been dealing with this for a very long time. I want to get rid of this. I want this out of my life. I want this hindrance for my relationship with you, Father, because that's what the bottom line. To better our relationship with the Father, and have nothing to hinder our relationship with the Father. You know, and we know and understand that if there's a lot of outside forces that's going to do that automatically. But what about the forces that's within? You know, and that's what we've been taking a look at for these last 6-7 weeks, the forces that's within. You know, those things that we may not even know that was there. So we been through a lot, matter of fact. Let me open up with a prayer. Hallelujah. Abba Yah. Once again, we're here at the door of the Shabbat. We thank you for that, Father. We thank you for your Shabbat blessing, Father. We thank you for your set of partners, Father. We thank you for just being you, Father, for loving us first, Father, for your mercy and your grace that you bestowed upon us first, Father, without us even having to do anything, Father. We thank you for that, Father. Father, we ask that all those who are ailing, all those who are in ailing in spirit, mind, body, that you heal them, Father, that you comfort them, Father, all of them, Father. Leave not one out, Father, all Yisrael, Father. And those who holding on to Yisrael, Father, those who want to come this route, Father, waken their minds, Father. May somebody drop a seed within them, Father. Use one of your people, Father, to drop a seed in one of them, Father. Father, because we know you wish not one to perish, not one. We ask for a special blessing always upon the Kohanim, Father, for we know the burden that they carry, Father. We know those unseen forces and seen forces that come against them on the daily, Father. So we ask that you strengthen them, Father, and that they walk within your Torah, Father, and in the testimony of Yahushua. Father, we ask that you bless and touch all the Emas, Father, for we know and understand that they have a great task too. All the Akotis, Father, who have a great task. All Yisrael, Father, those ones that you set to the side, Father. We ask that you bless them, Father, that you strengthen them, Father. But Father, you sacrificed not just one tribe, but a whole nation, Father, has been sacrificed for humanity, Father. Once we as Israelites come to understand that, the better off we'll be. Our life's been sacrificed. We thank you for that, Father. In Yahushua's name, I pray. Amen. Well, I'm your brother, Ariel. If anybody get that introduction earlier, I don't even think I said it. Excited about this last installment, because we're going to go through and there's probably going to hear some things, some new things, you know. And reading last week was like the icing on top of the cake, because if you look at or went through last week's lesson, it's talking about a spiritual sickness. It's talking about mental illness, which is, we understand, a spiritual sickness. You know, all the things that have to do with the mind, all the things that have to do with the spiritual. So I thought that was fitting to kind of top the kickoff with them, those three chapters right there, because all those things for each individual were personal. And I know we brought out last week how this was written 2,000 years ago, 2,000 plus years ago. But the thing that Abba brought to mind afterwards, and he do that a lot, when you hang up, so much more comes to your mind, is human nature have not changed. In fact, human nature have gotten worse, because this brother was writing that 2,000 plus years ago about human nature, about men and women who can't control their emotions, can't control their anger, can't control their sexual desires. 2,000 plus years ago, the anxiety attacks that people be having. He wrote about this 2,000 plus years ago, about the condition of the mind, the condition of the spirit 2,000 years ago. So we 2,000 years past, how much more and how much worse off is the condition of the mind, the condition of the spirit is today. Today, you know, and how much more Hasatan, Hillel, have gotten to know humanity. Because you know what mental illness is, it don't just happen until one person, as Brother Yaki El brought out, is a spiritual sickness. It touches everybody, every human being on the face of the planet in one shape or another is in spiritual sickness. In one shape or another, you're deep in that. You know, and I got to really meditate on it today because, you know, I work with mentally challenged people. I work there, so I really got to look at some characteristics and some mental illnesses today. And one of my clients complain about everything, talk about everything. I mean, complain if this client is coming, she don't like this client because the client talk too much. And I sat there and say, well, if you listen right now, you're the one making most of the noise. But I didn't say that to her, but that was my thought. You know, and I would say, use this. Use where you work at so you can learn. Learn more. And especially being a Kohanim, what we supposed to be doing is learning more about human nature, learning more about how man tick. So we as Kohanim are able, because we are the ones that tasked with going in and helping the sick, healing the sick. And we get into that, the sickness of the mind. We're going to read some things about that. But we are tasked for that. We have been called forth to do that, to help the sick. This immoral, that's in our mind. That's in our bodies. You know, and it blows your mind at times when you're working with mentally challenged people, because nothing is off limits. Nothing is off limits, and nothing should be surprising to you. So, and when I would do stuff like that, then nothing in this world should be surprising to you. But because we are still attached to this world, we are still human beings, we still get surprised. It's almost like we still let down our guards to this world system. Instead of guard your gates at all times, it's times that we let down them guards, because when things surprise us, things come upon us, and we are not one, equipped, or two, aware of, and it takes us for a loop. It's because we somewhere, somehow, let our guards down in this world. And I would say, learn from that. And I remember one time riding on a van, and one of my clients, and he called me. He called me so harsh and so quick, "Sean, Sean." And I'm driving, right? So I really can't turn around and look at him. The van's full of clients, at least 8 to 9, only 2 staff on the van. "Sean, Sean." "Yeah, yeah. What's her name?" Because I don't want to say his name. "She's staring at me. He's staring at me." And I'm looking in the rear mirror, like trying to look at which one of the clients is staring at him, right? So I'm looking, who's staring at you? What's the name? Who is it? Her right there. I mean, him right there. And I go to look, and he pointing to a billboard. And I had to catch myself, because I'm ready to act a fool with him. Like, what the world? But I had to remember, this man's mind is off. You know, so I like, well, don't look back at him. Don't give him the time of day. Stop looking at him. He won't look at you. But remind you, it's a billboard. But remind you, it is a man that's mentally challenged. A man that we know that's something wrong with his mind. We know that he has a mental illness, a sickness of the mind. How much more are those around us who don't know they have a sickness of the mind? We're supposed to take heed to. We're supposed to understand. We're supposed to not get so irate with. But if we know that there's a sickness of the mind, how in the world that we allow that mind to pull us into that? But we do all the time. Because why, again, we are attached to this human, we are attached to this world system. We are human, we are flesh ourselves. So sometimes it's easy to be drawn in. It's easy for our minds to be captured, for even if it's for a moment. We allow our minds to be captured. We allow our thoughts to be captured. And to the first thing I'm going to, man, that's a billboard. What are you talking about? Somebody staring at you. But he was serious. He was serious as a heart attack. You hear me? He was dead serious that they were staring at him. We all know and look at a billboard. You know how you ride and you look at some of the billboard and it seems like the eyes is following you. I'm quite sure as kids we thought that, hey, that billboard's staring at me. Where I go, they go. Why? Because it's our eyes that's actually looking at the billboard. But as we got older, we understood, hey, that billboard ain't looking at me. That's me. But he didn't understand that. So I could not be drawn into that and get out of it. I had to redirect that. Oh, no, brother, don't worry about that. Ignore them. Ignore them. And that's what we had to do. We got to sometimes redirect even ourselves. The scripture tells us about redirecting ourselves. It says capturing the thoughts. That's what? Okay, the thought came in. Now it's time to redirect the thought and get the thought out of here. Get the thought, because again, remember, the thoughts of spirit, they're coming into our mind. So we have the ability, especially those who have the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, has the ability to capture those thoughts. But we live in a world with only a few, a small percentage, actually have the true HaKodesh, Ruach HaKodesh. I'm going to say it again. A small percentage have the true Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit. Everybody can't capture those thoughts. It's even hard for us who have the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, to capture the thoughts that's coming into our mind. Just take an overview of your own life. Just take this one last week and look at your own life and see how many thoughts that you allowed to come in there. You allowed to come in your own mind. Because we talked about that too. We talked about how is it that having the Ruach HaKodesh or the Holy Spirit, that these illness still comes upon us, still a part of us. But we also brought out, one of the brothers, I believe, brought out in the lesson that the Spirit of Yah, the Spirit of Man, is the flashlight for Yah. So Yah have already put something within us, so he can show us what is a part of us that we don't even know that's a part of us, that we don't even know why we acting that way. I remember a long time ago, Rabbi told me to ask a person, why they act that way? Why you think you act that way? You know, so I have learned from that lesson that he taught me about 7-8 years ago, he told me to ask that. This is Rabbi Yaakov told me that. So I had learned from that lesson to ask people, why you act that way? To stop at that moment and try to get them to see or even understand, do they know why they act that way? Why? Because that's the part of the duty that I will put upon us. We are officials. We are the ones, not just us, Israel as a whole, because remember, the whole nation is sacrificed. The whole nation is sacrificed. And somebody may go, oh, brother, no, it's the Levites, man. But when Yahushua did what he did, once we come under the banner of Yahushua, we have all been sacrificed. Yes, we know that there's still a line for the priests, yes. Once you get the Ruach HaKodesh, which is a part of Yahushua, the comforter in you, that's a part of your duty too. That is a part of your duty to be a light to the world, a light to the Gentiles as well as to Israel. That is a part of your duty to heal this world, to show forth the goodness, the love, the character of our Father. You know, and that's another reason why we came this way. So we can show forth the character of our Father, but are we always doing that? But are there some things that's hindering that ahava, that love, from coming forth without us unconditionally to each and every human being? Not just Israel, but to each and every human being. Is it something within us? Because the thing about Israel, they got arrogant. It became about them. It became about they was on the high horse. They were special. And the rest of the world wasn't special, but we were special. Just like our old brother Job became self-righteousness. And now I had to come, hey, brother, I got to show you about you. I got to show you some things about you. You walking around, you upright. Hey, but when I go over here and ain't that like a parent that knows they got a good child. At the root of everything, they know that they have a good child. So when the halal came around, he didn't say, yeah, boy, my son, Job, over there, he self-righteous. Like, he's self-righteous. So why you didn't go over there and get him? That he's self-righteous as I don't know what. No, that's not a good parent. A good parent bigs up their child, talks about their child in a great way, in a good way. So he said, hey, he is upright. That's my righteous son right there. Satan said, I know. That's why you got a hedge around him. I know he upright. I know he righteous. That's why I want him. I want him bad because he's righteous. I'm trying to see if he's going to fall. All right, I'm going to remove the hedge from the brother here. You go ahead and get him from my son here. But he didn't go and tell Halal that he was that way. He told Halal that he was upright. More than any other man. I bragged on him to Halal, to Satan. But I still knew and understood that Job was self-righteous. So So you'll need to learn a lesson. But I ain't going to downplay my children in front of nobody. I know what's wrong with them, and I have the ability to get them right. That's Abba. That's Abba. So if Abba done it, how are we? What are we doing for one another? Those that's children of Abba, those that's sons and daughters of Yisrael. Are we big enough one another? Or if we seeing fault in one another, are we going to them in meekness and lowness? You know, just some rambling thoughts, family. So we get into the lesson. And as always, we're going to open up in your Conan 10:10, John 10:10, for those who don't know, those who may be listening that have no understanding of the Hebrew language or the Hebrew language that I'm be saying. So, as I was taught, you always have to teach as if somebody don't know, as if there's a two-year-old on the line. So you always have to keep that in mind. Never know who's going to listen to this down the line and help them. We're in John 10:10, and this has been our mantra throughout. This has been our calling throughout this last 6 weeks. You know, these last 6-7 weeks is John 10:10. We, matter of fact, we have two. The thief come not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have life, have it more abundantly. And that is the Messiah's talking, the Messiah, Yahushua. That is him that is talking. He said he have come that we may have life, and not just any old life, but an abundance of life, an overjoy of life, things that's not bogging us down, that we may be free with this life. That's why he said he came. But he understands, like we just talked about, there is an outside force that want to kill you, that want to steal from you, and want to destroy you. This outside force that we're going to be talking about a little later. He knows that. There is an outside force. But again, what we talked about earlier, there is also an inside force, which is us. Which is us. Most of the time, we are our greatest enemy. We are our own greatest enemy. We are our own. The thief come not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. So we can be free of these ailments, these things that we have been holding on, that's been there since we were children. Since we were children, that we have to lift up off of us. Why? Because the goal is so we can be better believers, better servants to the Most High God. So let's move on to Jeremiah 17:9. These have been our mantra scriptures, our scriptures that we have opened up with for the last 6 weeks. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? The heart is deceitful. The intellect, the seat of our wisdom, our mind, it is deceitful. We will deceive ourselves in a moment, let alone somebody else. But to ourselves, we will deceive ourselves in a moment. And it is desperately wicked. It's evil, period. It's evil. You know, ain't no ifs, ands, or buts. Abba didn't just say evil. He said they're desperately evil. Desperately. He said, who can know it? What man can know himself? What scripture acts, what I believe in Corinthians or Romans, one of them, Brother Shaul, Brother Paul said man only knows but what the spirit of man. That's all man knows is what that spirit says to him. That's it. Unless the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, is connected to us, we won't know nothing else but that spirit. Nothing else. We will have no intellect, no understanding that there is a mighty one. In fact, you got some out here now who's trying to disprove that there is a mighty one, even though they have his breath within them. So again, the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked, even though they have the breath of the Most High within them. They still deny that there is a mighty one. They still deny that. And I know I shouldn't feel this way, but I like to see those who wake up to the Father and Yahushua standing there. I know I shouldn't feel that way, but I just like to say, man, all this time you didn't believe. Now when that spiritual body wake up and your eyes see that there is a mighty one, that all this time what they was telling you, what the heavens was declaring to the world, that all that was portraying or pointing to the Most High, and you deny that all that time. But I was saying the heart is desperately wicked. He said the mind is, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? We don't know ourselves. We don't. If it was not for Abba, if it was not for Yahweh, we would not know who we are. We would not have a clue, mankind that is, why we are on this planet. It would have been destroyed a long time ago if it wasn't for him. A long time ago. So we move on to our first question. What have we learned about mental illness and sin? What have we learned? You know, and that's a question for y'all. As a question for me, because I learned a lot. I learned a lot about myself, a lot. I disclosed it. I let the people know. Not everything, I'll be honest with that, not everything, because there's still things that I'm learning. There's still things that Abba is teaching me and showing me and pulling out of me, if I allow him to. Things he still have to pull out of me. Still have to pull out of me. You know, and what I... One of the lessons that Brother Yaquiel did, I believe that was two or three, I can't remember exactly which one, that he brought out mental illness is a spiritual sickness. So when he brought that out for the lesson, it just blew the whole thing open. It broadened it. Whereas though what Abba had given me, it was like it was on a neural. But what Yahweh had gave him, it broadened it. It didn't just touch some of us. It touched every living human being on the face of the planet. A spiritual sickness. That means your spirit is sick. And we got a few verses that we're going to look at because we want to look up that word spiritual. We're going to Romans 8:6. So then, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and shalom, life and peace. To be carnally minded is death. That means, and it says in another, the carnal mind is enmity. As a matter of fact, if I read this verse 7, it said, because the carnal mind is enmity against Yah, for it is not subject to the Torah of Yah, neither indeed can be. It is in our natural mind, and what we were born with, it is an enemy to the Father. In this natural mind of ours, we're talking about spiritual sickness. We went through this. This is one of the things that we learned. That in our natural mind, without the Ruach HaKodesh. So that means we talked earlier about there's only a very few people on the planet. There's not a large group of people. There's not a whole lot of people. Out of the 8+ million, there's a very small percentage that have the true Ruach HaKodesh working within them. Now, how are you going to say that, brother? Look at the world. Look at the world. So that means over, I really would doubt if there was a, I don't know this for a fact, only Abba knows, if there was a billion people on the planet with the true Ruach HaKodesh. The one true Ruach HaKodesh, the one true Holy Spirit, I really would doubt if there's a billion people on this planet with it. Really doubt that. So there's a very, the number is nowhere near that. Nowhere near that. And we're not saying that when we read in Revelation 144,000 who supposed to teach the world that Abba said he was going to anoint and put his name and seal them. We know that there's much more than that. But I still don't believe that there is more than a billion people on the face of the planet with the Ruach HaKodesh, the true Ruach HaKodesh. Now, how are you going to say that? Because there took only 12 plus 70 to spread with the true Ruach HaKodesh. Now we look at what we have today as what they call the Bible. But we look at the missions that these men and some women went on. A very small percentage. There was not a whole lot of them. Set the world upside down with. Set the world up. So that's how I can say that there's not a lot. And then just on the track record, going through the scriptures from Bereshit to Hazan, Revelation, Genesis to Revelation, Yahweh did not use a lot of people. A lot of people did not have the Ruach HaKodesh. A lot of them didn't. Even Israel did not. Very, very small percentage within Israel, the nation that Abba chose, set apart, had the Holy Spirit. Not the whole nation had the Holy Spirit. Why? We know that. Because Abba had to come and make a new covenant with them. He said, why? Because the old covenant they break, because what they could not do in the spirit, in their mind, because it was weak through the flesh. Because the flesh cannot serve the Most High on its own. It has to have help. It has to have an extra piece of him. They have to have the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, to even put us on the path to serve him. Because that's what we're on. We're on a path of serving him. We're on a path to the kingdom. That straight and narrow path. Again, a very small percentage in this world have the Holy Spirit, the true Holy Spirit. So that's the thing. We say all that to say this. Everybody else is carnally minded. Everybody else is enmity against Yah Torah and against him. Every person that you meet, just think about it in a day of your work or a day that you've been out here, they are enemies to the Most High. They are, and even us. Those who have the Ruach HaKodesh, those who have the Holy Spirit, we have carnality within us that we still have to get out. Because we don't want to be an enemy to the Most High. We don't want our ways to be an enemy to the Most High. We don't want our stubbornness, our anger, our anything, our anxieties, our broken hearts, anything to take us away from the Most High. Because the heaviness can do that too. We read about how in the book of Sirach, the heaviness of the heart. Brother say, hey, I take anything but the heaviness of the heart. Give me anything but the heaviness of the heart. You understand what can happen to a man's or woman's psyche once their mind has been broken. Because it ain't that heart that pumped blood, it's that mind has been broken. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and shalom. Because the carnal mind is enmity against Yah, for it is not subject to the Torah of Yah, neither indeed can be. So I would say let's look up that word spiritually, because we understand it's a mental illness, it's a spiritual sickness. And it is phenomia. It is from your Greek concordance 41:5-1, a current of air, i.e., a blast or a breeze, by an allegory or figurative, a spirit, i.e., the human, the rational soul. And I'm going to stop there. For the rest, you can read yourself. I just wanted to point to you, it is something spirit. It is the soul of a human. The soul of a human that is sick, that is an enemy to the Most High, that is sick. And, you know, if we go back, we also learned that we was born in iniquity and shaped in sin. And what we also learned, we look back and understood what Abba was showing, it was a criminal. It was a crime, a suspect. And what Abba had shown with that was, hey, I was born a suspect. I was born into a world that a crime had taken place, and I was already a suspect. I was already on one of the accused. So I had to live my life showing that, hey, you got the wrong brother. Or you got to live your life, you got the wrong sister. But there's an accuser of the brethren. Remember, we learned that. And there's also an advocate. We learned all this out of mental illness. And there's so much more that Abba want to show us. So do your own study. Do your own research on. Sit down and ask Abba for you so you can clean that house. Let's move on to Matityahu, Matthew. If you want to learn more, Matityahu 4:23. Matthew 4:23. We're going to learn about this mental illness. What is it? And Yahushua went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sicknesses and all manner of disease among the people. Now, this is Israel that he went about. Just Israel that Yahushua went about. It wasn't the world that he was going about. These are the set apart ones. These are the ones that Abba pulled to the side. Message that he had to go around and heal all manner of diseases, all manner of sicknesses. Yahushua had to do that to the set apart ones. It's like, I got to get y'all straight first. So if I get y'all straight first, then y'all can go out there to the world. But he ain't go nowhere else but to the lost sheep of Yisrael. So we talking about mental illness. I would look up that word, sickness. Let's look that word up and see what it's talking about. It's in your Strong's Concordance, your Greek section again. That's 35:54. Nosos. Of an uncertain affirmity, a malady, rarely figuratively, of moral disability. And that's what I wanted to get to. Of moral disability. Again, the sickness is figuratively a moral disability. That's that carnal mind. That's that enemy. That's that crime that we was born into. That's still there. That's still there. But Yahushua went around healing this moral disability. This immoral disability. You're more a disabled, Israel? How is your morals disabled? And you got the Torah. And you have the Ruach HaKodesh. We have the Ruach. We have the Holy Spirit. How is our morals disabled? How is that a disability? Because again, we were born in this. We're a part of this. We were a practicing sinner at one time. If you was not born into this way of life. But if you wasn't, you were a practicing sinner at one time. And those ways and those traits, that's still deep down in there. Then again, something could have happened within your life that we don't know why we like that. We don't know why we act that way until we ask the question or somebody else on the outside that see it and ask the question. Until we ask that question, why are we like that? Why do I respond like that to every situation? Why don't I have no rest, no peace within me? Why can't I just overlook some things or say something about a thing, but it does not have to get within. It does not have to make me irate. It does not have to make me angry with the person. Why do I got to get mad with the person if I'm correcting them? Or if I'm telling them that they did me wrong, if I'm telling them they offended me, why should I hold anger within me? Why I got to be like that? I mean, now we know why. A moral disability. You're disabled in your morals. We are disabled. And if it wasn't for Yahushua coming around here in Israel, this was all of these things showing us who we are. We had the Torah. There was a moral disability. We still wasn't living the way Abba wanted us to live. But that's another story. But he also gave some brothers the same power. So we're going to move on to Matityahu 10:1. And when he had called unto him his 12 Talmudim, his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of moral disabilities and all manner of diseases. He healed all manner of sicknesses and all manner of diseases. All manner of sicknesses and diseases. You know, he gave us that ability. And even when you look up that the word diseases, which is in your Strong's Concordance 3119, it is Mel Akiha from 3120, softness, i.e. innervation, debility, disease. Debility, disease. It's another something that is wrong with the soul of ours. Something is wrong with mankind's soul. We know he only came to Israel. We know the Talmudim at this time went to Israel, but afterwards they went out to the whole world. He told them go out to the four corners. We know the Great Commission of the world teaching this and doing what I tell you to do, still healing, still healing the sickness and diseases. Still getting that moral disability out of mankind. Still trying to help heal man and put in the character of Yah. The character of Yah. You know, so then we started looking at, we looked at sin, you know, which we came to understand it is a spirit that wants to attach itself to an already condemned mind. That's what sin is. We understood that. We came to understand that sin was an entity that wants to attach itself to an already condemned mind. Think about that. Think about it. We know what the word says about sin. 1 John 3:4, for those who sin transgress the Torah, sin is transgression of the law. We know that. But we wanted to get deep down. We wanted to dig up underneath of that. What's the cause behind it? You know, what's the motivation behind it? Why are we like that? So that we wanted to get deep with it. We didn't want to stay on the surface. Because everybody can quote John 3:4. But what is it? What is sin? So it's that spirit that wants to attach itself to an already condemned mind. Remember, the carnal mind is enmity against Yah. So we already in that condemned state. We already in the enemy. So this entity want us to stay in that state. It want us to stay in a condemned state. But Yahushua, I ain't coming to condemn the world. The world already condemned. I came to bring it life. And life abundantly. And the world was already condemned. Mankind already was condemned. He came to bring us life. So, but this entity, it want to attach itself to that, to this already condemned mind. So that's why when we say, dang, I would never thought I would see something like that. What in the world would make a mother put a baby in the microwave? What would make a mother drive off a hill with her babies in there? We're talking about a mother. We're talking about supposed to be one of the most nurturing things on the planet. A mom would do that, will hurt one of her babies. A son will get older and kill his mother. We're talking about a mindset that has been condemned already, and this entity wants to attach itself to that. It wants to take that already condemned mind and put it so far under that it never see the light of Yah. But even with that, Yah can reach you. Yah ain't nothing too hard for Yah. There's no mind that he cannot reach. There's nothing too hard for him. Nothing. Now, because on the flip side, now you got people who've been out there in the world prostituting, out there in the world selling drugs, using drugs, doing all types of manner, and probably a couple of murders under their belt. Yah can turn them around. He can reach that. Now look at our brother Shaul. That brother was running around killing the believers. But Yah reached that mind. He reached that already condemned mind that already thought that he was something special. Yah reached that mind. And so many more. I myself, he reached my mind that was condemned with this entity attached to it. They want to keep it in that darkness. But again, there's, I don't care how far you think you are or how dark in that mind is, Yah can reach it if you give him an opening. Now, I got to say that now. You got to give him an opening. You got to hear when he knock on that door. You got to answer because he's knocking. But you got to answer that door. I don't care how condemned that mind is. He said, I stand at the door and knock. He can answer. You have to answer that door. You have to let him in. You have to ask that question, why? Why? You know, we have to ask that age-old question, why am I like that? I don't want to be like that no more. You have to be fed up with that. Matter of fact, this past weekend, another brother of mine from Cali was here, and he was a brother that was out there in the street, and a friend of mine that grew up with me, and now that he's into the ministry, and he asked the question, years ago, he asked that, you know, how can you know this brother was a contract killer? How, and all of a sudden, he goes to prison and do this thing a couple years. Now he out there, he ministering to God. You think God accept that? Yes, he do, if he be penitent. I mean, we ain't even talking about the Christianity part. We talking about a true repentance. If he repented, yes, he will. Yes, he will accept that. So there's no mind that the Father can't reach. There's no mind that he can't reach. No matter how dark it is, he can reach it if it answer that door. If it just answer, just ask that question. So we moved on. We still here at Matit Yahu 10, Matthew 10, 1. And this is when Yahushua, he gave that same power unto his Talmudims, unto his taught ones. And when he had called unto him his 12 Talmudim, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of diseases. And they emphasize all. Ain't nothing that Yahweh cannot heal. Ain't nothing. No disease that either man made or Abba gave himself or allowed to come on this planet that he cannot fix. He cannot heal. But we know and understand, because we're talking about mental illness. That's a moral disability right there. I would call you disability. We disabled. We all need that little wheelchair man riding around in our car. Everybody on the face of the planet need that on their car. Until we come to Yahushua, until we come to him. So let's see what we learned about this entity, how we came to the understanding that it is an entity. So we're going to go to Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2:2. Wherein in times past ye walk according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. The children of disobedience. There's a spirit of disobedience. Our walk was in the prince of the power. Our walk, how we walk, the course of the earth, the course that we was on, halal, Satan set us on that course. Satan got a course. He got a road. Yahushua said there was two roads. There was a narrow one and there was a broad one. So our course ain't nothing but a road. We get it interchangeable. So this course, this neural course that Yahushua was talking about, he said only few won't find it. He said, but this big course, this big road, many going to go down that way. Many. And again, that upholds what I said earlier, that there is not a lot of people on the face of the planet that have the Holy Spirit. Because it would not be a lot on this road. Yahushua said there is a lot, and I believe his words. I believe what he said. He said there is a lot. And on this little road that everybody on, this small course, only three won't find that. Everybody ain't going to find that. It ain't for everybody. And it's for everybody, but they just ain't looking, and they ain't going to find it. Because a lot of them went the other route. They went the route that the thief trying to get them on, that this course that we just read about here, it says, and you walk according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. They on that course, thinking that they on that straight and narrow, not understanding that they on that the course of Satan, period. Ain't no ifs, ands, or buts around it. I got to tell it the way it is. So this spirit, this entity is working in the children of disobedience, in mankind, period, in mankind. So we went to, from there, to further prove that, we went to Bereshit. Bereshit 4, 6 and 7. And Yahweh said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shall not thou be accepted? And if thou doesn't do well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over you. So we came to understand this thing is plotting. This thing, this entity, this spirit is waiting for you. It, just like we talked about Yahushua knocking on that door, he had that door too. He lieth at the door. He at that door. What is the door? Your mind. This already condemned mind that we talked about, that this entity wants to attach itself to. This already condemned mind. We read it. We let the word prove what we're talking. It's waiting at the door for us. And even those who have the Ruach HaKodesh, you think he left that door? No, he have not. He still waits at that door for an opportunity. He still waits at that door for an opportunity. And remember, it doesn't matter what that opportunity is, whether anger, whether you can't control yourself, whether malice, whether a heavy heart, it does not matter. It does not matter. And one would even think, like, oh, now Satan going to get in there with a heavy heart. I mean, you just hurt him because he don't care how he come in. That heavy heart is one of his favorite ways, I can say. It's one of his favorite ways. I forgot the scripture that talks about that, that proves that point. The scripture talks about that. When you like this, he slides in. Even we learned last week in some pleasures that he's waiting at that door for pleasures. We learned that in the book of Maccabees last week, that pleasure, Satan's waiting at that door. So everything that encompasses mankind, he's trying to get in. Only one way he can't get in, if the Ruach HaKodesh is there. Only one way he can't get in and stay in, say, let's put it that way, he can't get in there and stay in there. Because after a while, the Ruach HaKodesh goes, hey, you got to get up out of here. Hey, catching them thoughts. You got to go, Hasatan. You can't stay here. There's no house for you here. There's no home. No, not here. You can knock all you want. I'm going to evict you. You got to go. You can't stay here. But don't. It does not stop him from coming back. It does not stop him from coming back. So then we looked up. We got into PTSD. You know, we understand what PTSD is. So let me see if I still got that. That PTSD in here, so we can look that up. Yes. I still have a family. I still have it. Because we got into PTSD, which is post-traumatic stress disorder. You know, what is a post-traumatic stress disorder? A post-traumatic... a disorder in which a person has difficulty recovering after experiencing or witnessing a terrifying event. That's what post-traumatic stress is. A disorder in which a person has a difficulty recovering after an experiencing or witnessing a terrifying event. And that's what we came to understand, too. We came to understand that these things that happen in our life, they are experiences. So we talked about that. We understood those things, that these experiences that we have, we can learn from these experiences. But some of these experiences that happened to us, we have buried deep down within us. We have covered up. And we came to understand, and we talked about how even when that thing start to regurgitate, it start to come back up. Why? Because something reminded us of it. Something happened that day to remind us of that terrible experience, and we started to regurgitate those feelings, that when we got that feeling, we pushed it back down. But we learned, bring that feeling up. Regurgitate that feeling. So once you regurgitate that feeling, you can deal with it. But if you keep suppressing the feeling every time it comes on you, it's going to always be that you'll never be able to heal. You'll never be able to move on from that situation, from that experience. So regurgitate it next time. Once anything reminds you of that bad experience that you had, bring it back up. Ask Abba to help you deal with that. Ask him to help you deal with that. Then we went into ACE. We understood that what we looked into some things that was called ACE, and we came to understand what ACE was, you know, because we understand that a lot of these traumatic things came from our childhood. See, a lot of us was walking around, it is walking around with things that happened in our childhood that we want to forget, but we don't ever want to remember. We don't ever want to regurgitate. We don't ever want to bring that back up. We don't want to bring it back up to the consciousness, the forefront of our minds. We don't want that. We want that thing dead, buried, and gone. We don't want that. But we don't understand how these experiences is hindering us today. How that not dealing with that shaped and molded us into the people we are today. So that's another thing that I was trying to get, trying to unshape us, unmold us into what he needs us to be. But we fight against that. We fight against that in numerous ways, in several ways that we fight against that. Again, we talked about how it was personal for me. You know how you fighting against that. You know how you are in denial or not wanting to experience that, or just don't want, hey, I didn't move on for that. I'm better from that. But not, that's not what the world sees. That's not what the world sees. So, but we have to confront these uncomfortable experiences. We have to confront those. And we have to be honest with ourselves, first and foremost. Confirming our feelings, that's another thing that we talked about, confirming how you feel. Be assured of how you feel. Let people know how you feel. And again, because you feel that way, that don't mean that we're enemies. That don't mean that I don't still love you. That don't mean that I'm even upset with you no more or any longer. I just feel this way. And it's me and my feeling. That's how I feel. So I feel that way about you. That don't mean I'm mad at you. That don't mean you have to put up a wall when somebody comes to you and say, oh, you made me feel uncomfortable. You hurt my feelings. This is how I feel. And we, as human beings, we automatically put up a wall. We automatically put our hands up. We automatically get in that defense stand like, oh, no, you're not going to tell me about me. But more so as believers, it should not be. And we exclude in the world where we know, understand that they are, they have not the Holy Spirit. We're talking especially about believers, about Israel, those set apart ones. Israel. That's what we're talking about. So that's who Abba is using. That nation that Abba have called out of Mitzrayim, out of Egypt. That's what we're talking about. Those that he sent his son down here for. First, those who he sent his son down here to set up something, to do something, to train them for war, for all types of, and look at that, spiritual warfare. Now, well, that's to even give us a better understanding of spiritual warfare. One of the questions that was, what have we learned? We have learned a better understanding of what spiritual warfare is. It's like a word that we just say, we have spiritual warfare. People just say, hey, well, explain that to me. Sit me down and show me what you're talking about. What spiritual, now we can say that we truly understand what spiritual warfare is. We're battling against a mind that's an enemy to the Father. And that's every human being without the Holy Spirit. We battle in that. We understand that now. At least I did. I can say, yeah, I learned that within this thing. Because, you know, at one time, yeah, we spiritual warfare is spirit, and we high places, principalities, all that. Hey, we understand those entities. But now we got a deeper understanding of Abba is working. He is showing us. He is growing us. He is growing us. So, again, and with the, matter of fact, let me read this right here. It's ace, and we understood what ace was. Ace is an adverse childhood experience. That's what ace is, and the acronym ace. An adverse childhood experience is the term used to describe all types of abuse, neglect, and other potential traumatic experiences that occur to people under the age of 18. Now, we have to do a combing of our mind. We have to go back. We have to go back through our own annals of our mind, these things in our mind. We have to get back deep down and see where we lived in abuse. Did we live in abuse? Or what were the things that my experiences as a child? How was my childhood life? What happened to me within the under the age of 18 and even a little over? But what happened? How was my childhood? You know, was I living in dysfunction or was I living in function? We know and understand now that if it wasn't the Ruach, the Holy Spirit did, we was living in dysfunction. But what the world called function, Abba calls dysfunction. You know, and it also says an adverse childhood experience has been linked to risky health behaviors, chronic health conditions, low life potential, and early death. These things that if you experience these things that we're going to read about in a few seconds, that is have risky health behaviors, chronic health condition, low life potential, and early death. All is stemming from your childhood. All that stemming from your childhood. Now we're going to read, and it has here, three types of ACEs, you know, and we understood what ACEs is, so we don't have to go through that, then, you know, the acronym for. And it has three categories. The first category is abuse. And what falls under abuse is, the first one is physical abuse. If you grow up in a household with a parent or you being physical abuse, then you'll fall under this category. As a matter of fact, out of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. It's 10 of them. And I remember when I did it, how many did I fall under? And under the next one is emotional abuse. Did you fall under being emotional abuse? Or did you have a parent that was harsh with the mouth? Did you have a parent that was just a hard parent? There ain't no other way I can say it. That's emotional abuse. So these things, we have to take in consideration of our childhood. We learned about these things. And on top of that, and the last one in, that falls under that abuse is sexual abuse. Was somebody touched in your family or were you touched in your family when you was a child? Any there anything under the age of 18. These are the things that fall under the ACE. And the next one was neglect. Did you live in a household where, though, you was neglected physically or emotionally? Which one of these were you neglected of these? And then some people may have all of them. Some may have one. Some may have two, three, four, five. And now the third one is household dysfunction. Household dysfunction. And these five fall under household dysfunction. The first one, did you grow up in a house with somebody with mental illness? The second one is mother treated violently. Were your parent abused? Was your mother abused? Did you see your mother getting beat up? Or, and nowadays that we learn, did you see your father verbally abused by the mother? Because it ain't always the father beating up on the mother. Now, or even back then, there's mothers who were hard and verbally abusing people. Because verbal abuse is just as worse as physical abuse. In fact, verbal abuse hurt longer. It cuts down to the soul. You, as a child, were your parents verbally abusive to one another? Did you grow up in that household where though anything came out the mouth? No respect. And then the last one, I mean the next to the last one under this line was divorce. Were your parents divorced? And then we have another one, the last two, was anybody in your household incarcerated? Any relative incarcerated that you know about? Then you have to move on. Was any drug users in your house? Anybody in your house was drug user, alcohol user? Anybody abused any substance that you knew, that you saw? But here's the thing, out of all these that we talked about earlier, in the black community, we know that at least six out of the ten. We know at least 6 out of the 10 that's happening. And maybe some houses have 10 out of the 10. But in the black community, we have normalized it. It became normal to us. That's normal to the black community. That's normal. Again, we talked about the boy Tariq Hill who banged his son in the 3-year-old son in the chest. And most blacks are like, hey, you know what? That's nothing. We got beat with extension cords, frying pans, switches. And you tell people that today, oh my God, your mama was horrible. She beat you with a extension cord, a switch. Right? That's abuse. But for us, hey, that's nothing. We grew up in dysfunction. We grew up like that, in dysfunction. That's not normal. You're not supposed to go and beat your kids, leave welts on them. But in some way, somehow, we came out of that. Some of us, anyway. Then again, we may not know that it bothered us until somebody pulled that out of us. I remember getting beat with extension cords. Yeah, I remember that. Me and my brother, we had to run that day. We ran from my mother. I was mad that day. I remember that. I remember those type beatings. But it wasn't just happening in our house. It was happening in all houses that we grew up around. So it was a normal way of life for the quote-unquote black community. Now, we didn't have no clue that you could call the police and get mommy locked up. That was the last thing on our mind. Even now today, you raise your voice and yell at the kids. They calling the police on some parents. You can't even raise your voice and yell at them. Why? Because they have come to say that's abuse. But now, let's see what Torah says about that, about that abuse part. He said, spoil a child, you spare the rod. You'll spoil a child if you don't give them no beans. He said, I chasten those who I love. Now, there is a difference. Now, you got a grown woman or a grown man coming down on the child with hard and maliceness, and you see all the anger in them, and they taking something out, that's abuse. That's abuse. But you know, you didn't caught your child stealing, and you trying to show them that, hey, that's not the way. But you caught your child drinking or smoking or doing something at a young age that they should not be doing, and you trying to correct them, let them know, hey, what I'm giving you right now is nothing compared to you if you keep going down this road. It's nothing. And that's Abba. That's why we go through what we go through. What I'm doing right now is nothing compared to the road that you're on, what you're going to get. This little teeny beating I'm doing right here is trying to save your life. So there's a difference. I didn't want to blanket that statement about beating a child is abuse. No, it's not. No, it's not, because the scripture does not teach that. And we're going to teach what the scripture teach. We're going to show the truth about that. So we went through all that and so much more, family. So if you, in your spare time, can go back and comb through. Go back and comb through. Go back in the archives. Take each lesson and go through it. Because you may be dealing with a mental illness. You may not understand sin as much. You may be having some childhood things that's in there. Go back and see where Abba said some things that may can help and heal you. Because it's a personal walk. It's an individual thing that we have to do. You know, but and that's the end of my lesson, actually. But I just had something else to talk about. One more thing to talk about, because we just wanted to give a review. That was it. That was all that the Most High gave me, was give a review. Ask the people, are they learning? Are they combing in their own minds? Are they going through for themselves? You know, that's what he's been giving me. So, in that, I'm going to do what he say do. And we even got a little extra. We got a little extra because I'm always going to give us something more. But we're just going to give a little peek into what he has given me for the next time we get on this journey. For the next 6 weeks, he has given me. And it's beautiful, right? Because he gave it to me last week? And I talked to Rabbi Yaakiel and told him about it, what it was. And I was like, oh, man. But how Abba do, you go so many different ways. So you're like, slow down. I'm so glad I got 6 weeks to sit here and put all this together, because it's a lot. And as we think and as we meditate on a lesson, you start to go on so many different ways. And you be like, can we slow it down right now? Because, you know, I got this one lesson to do, and I ain't even finished this one yet. And you're giving me this. Let me slow down for a little while. But I'm going to say something to us, to everybody, and I want your mind to roam. I want your mind to comb through the scriptures. I want your mind to see where it takes you. Because it basically could be a continuation of this, but it's not. But it could be. So when I say this phrase to you, these four words, see what comes to your mind, what came to my mind when it came to that. And it's continued traumatic stress disorder. Continued traumatic stress disorder. And we know what traumatic stress, we know what PTSD is. We just went through what PTSD is. But this one is continued traumatic stress disorder. That means that's not something that you experienced years ago. That's something that's happening now. That's something that's within your life that is continued. And I'm thinking about Israel when he gave me that. Israel came to mind. This is a continuation. So as I say continued traumatic stress disorder, what scripture comes to mind? What comes to your mind when you hear something that's continued, this experience, this traumatic experience that's going to repeat itself over and over and over again, that has been repeating itself over and over and over again? And this is what came to mind when, and I'm not even going to tell y'all where I'm going at. Y'all find out when I get there, when I read it, y'all know. And matter of fact, for those who are allowing the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, to run through their mind and go through scripture, send me the scripture if you must. I mean, if you can. Send me the scripture of where your mind went when you heard that, a continued traumatic stress disorder. Where did your mind go when you heard that? So this is where Abba took me. And there's no wrong answer, family. I know we don't like to be wrong, but there's no wrong answer. This is where Abba may take your mind, and you may give me a scripture to help with the next 6 weeks. But if I read this scripture, and this is where your mind went, send me a thumbs up. Send me a thumbs up. Remember, a continued traumatic stress disorder. Among these nations, you will find no ease, and there will be no rest for thy soul of your foot, but Yahweh will give you there a trembling heart, failing of eyes, and pinning of soul. Your life will hang in doubt before you. You will be afraid night and day and will have no assurance of life. In the morning you will say, I wish it were evening. And at evening you will say, I wish it were morning. For the fear of your heart, which you will fear, and for the sights which your eyes will see. Amen. Amen. A continued traumatic stress disorder. And so next we'll be getting into the mishpat of Yah. And I don't even believe that the whole title yet, but I know the mishpat of Yah. But I don't know if that's to continue, because in so many ways my mind has been running. He's been running my mind through this. But I know one thing he said, because what I was thinking about last week is the judgment of Yah that's going to come in this world, because that's coming. But he did not let me just go to the judgment that's coming on this world. He said, first, judgment started in my house. First. Judgment started in my house first. I said, okay, okay. And my mind started racing there, racing there, racing there, and continued traumatic stress disorder. Okay, family, we at the end of this journey. There you all is on a journey with y'all, and Brother Shafut Al will continue the journey also. Every Moray has a journey that Abba has sent them on, and every Moray has a mission that Abba sent them on. So we want to pray for those brothers. I'm going to close out with a prayer, family. Hallelujah! Toda Abba Yah, for a wonderful journey you have brought us. A wonderful journey, Abba. Thank you, Father. Thank you again, Abba. May those who listen search their own hearts and minds, Father. May those who listen be free from things that keep them captive, Father. May those who have listened take the time to heal, Father. May they regurgitate those experiences, Father, and get rid of them. Deal with them, Father, with your help. There's nothing impossible, Abba. Abba, I ask that tomorrow lesson, Brother Deuel, that you come to him like a mighty or mighty sword, Father. May his words be mighty, and may he stand to the side and allow you to use them. Shafut El also, Father, may you come to him too, Father, with a mighty sword, with the judgment, Father. With his name, Father. May you give him words of wisdom to speak. May you give him understanding of your Torah, Father. May we all get understanding of the lessons that your Marie is going to bring out tomorrow, Father. Help us all, Father, to have shalom in our houses. Help us all to have shalom in our workplaces, Father. And when we can't have this shalom in these places, Father, give us the wisdom not to be drawn in, Father. Give us the understanding not when the adversary is rising up against us, Father, so we can stay away from being carnal, Father, so our mind will not be drawn into carnality, Father. Father, I ask and pray for all the Kohanim and all Yisrael. Shabbat shalom, Yisrael. Amen. Shabbat shalom, Abba. Amen.
If I forget thee, O Jerusalem, let my tongue leap to the roof of my mouth. For I forsake thee, O Mount Zion. Woe be unto my soul. If I forget Jerusalem, the chief of my joy.
Thanks to the Almighty Yah for the opportunity to perform for you today. I want to thank Robin Applewood, Dogman Joe. Give it up. Give it up for the Sheba Warriors band. This is Queen Makeda coming to you from Zion, Jerusalem.